All right, Exodus chapter 20 is the very famous chapter of the Ten Commandments. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." Now, what I'm going to be preaching about is called Why They Hate the Ten Commandments and Why They're Removing. I just noticed, I think this week or last week, Oklahoma City at the state capitol, they took down the Ten Commandments. And I'm pretty sure there's another state, I was going to say it might be Arkansas, I'm not really sure, that's already done this in the past. Look, I'm telling you what, every state capitol that has the Ten Commandments standing in front of them, it's always just one state that goes. One state allows sodomy, allows fag marriage, and then boom, all of them like dominoes just fall right into place. And I'm telling you what, this whole taking and ripping the Ten Commandments off of the public property, off of the school system, and all that type of stuff in Oklahoma City is just the beginning of it. And I'm going to explain to you how come they hate the Ten Commandments. I have 10 points tonight. 10 reasons why they hate the Ten Commandments. Number one is verse number 3. It's the first commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." Now, look at verse number 1. This is the real reason why they don't like the Ten Commandments. They don't like all 10 of them. I'm going to give all 10 points and how come they hate each one of them. But the reason why is it comes from verse number 1. Look at this. It says in verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying," and then he proceeds to give us what we know as the Ten Commandments. These commandments are what God said. These are not Moses' words. These are not man's words. These are God's words. And therefore, they hate God's word, and they would have nothing to do with it. That's why they're taking the Ten Commandments down. That's why in Oklahoma City, they could have this crazy statue of some pagan, a half horse, half man, all sorts of other stuff, and they leave that up. Do you know why? Because the Oklahoma City, the state government, the federal government is ran by the God of this world. The God of this world is Satan, and the devil hates the Ten Commandments because it's what God said. Now look at verse number 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Go to Malachi chapter number 1. Malachi, it's the book right before the book of Matthew. The last book of the Old Testament. Teaching that there is only one true and living God angers people. Because in America, in 2015, everybody has to have their rights. I mean, we have people that are Muslims, and they have to have their rights. And we have women and the women's false lib movement. And they, false liberation, really, it's spitting in the face of God, and they got to have their rights. And the children have their rights. And the fags and the homos, they got their rights. But you know what? I want to know what I'm asking. Where's God's rights? Where's the Christians' rights? How come the first religion that gets trampled on, that gets banned, is the religion of Christianity? Now look at verse number 6. It says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And you say, Wherein have we despised thy name?" Do you know what God is saying? He's saying, you treat everyone else with honor. You treat the fathers with honor. You treat the ladies with honor. You treat the sodomites with honor. You treat everything under the sun. They all have their rights and they all have honor. He's saying, where's my honor? He's, I'm the creator of heaven and earth. I'm the almighty God, and I have no honor amongst you. That's what he's saying. Go in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua 24. Where are God's rights? Where is the rights of the Christian? They get trampled on. They get stomped underfoot. The sodomites have come out of the closet. And you know what? I heard a guy say it on a video the other day. Where are the Christians at? Where are the preachers at? Crying aloud, sparing not. Getting up from behind the pulpits and preaching what thus saith the Lord about any subject. They're not out there. They're afraid. They're a bunch of stinking cowards, and the preachers are afraid because they're afraid of the... You know what they're afraid of? Is people not putting anything in this. They're afraid of somebody, people coming and Mr. Big Wallet coming and getting afraid because you're preaching and calling them faggots and queers or whatever you don't like. And they're afraid that they're going to get in their Mercedes Benz and they're going to drive away. But you know what? I don't care. Amen. You know, if we have to and if this type of preaching offends people, we'll go back and go into my house. Amen. I don't care. You know why? Because the Bible is what we hold in authority. And we're going to get to the rest of this. Look at Joshua chapter number 24. If we want God to bless this nation, we better make sure that God, that we give God His proper honor, that we have Him in His proper place. The Bible says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Do you know what that means? If you, your nation and their God is not the Lord, you are not blessed. You are under the curse of God. Look at Joshua 24, verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord is our God. He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. And from the house of bondage, which did great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein He went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Excuse me, got winded. Therefore, we will also strive, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God, and He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, we will serve the Lord. They stood up and said, we will serve the Lord. We will make sure that the God that brought us, our fathers, over out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, we will make sure that we serve Him. And Joshua said, you need to make sure that what you're saying right now, you stick to it. Because if you say that the God, the Lord God of the Bible is your God, and you forsake Him, He's going to cloud up, He's going to rain, and judgment is going to befall the entire nation. And they said, nay, we will serve the Lord. And we know what happened with them. They forsook the Lord, got carried away into captivity. God, because of His mercy and grace, bring them back with Nehemiah and Ezra. They did it again. They've been scattered abroad. And now they're done with New Testament. The Bible says that the nation, the physical nation of Israel, is done. Go to Exodus chapter number 20. Now, it said right there, and He was using an example of like, look, He brought us out of the land. Look how mighty and strong God was to bring us through the Red Sea, departed the Red Sea, and then He also drowned the entire Egyptian army in the waters after we passed through. He said, you better recognize who God is, and you better be careful what you say and what you promise Him, because it's the same God, it's the same power, and the power that He destroyed the Egyptians with, He'll destroy you, and the Bible says that He'll do you hurt. Now, most people in this country will agree that the Lord had to do a lot with the foundation of this nation. We beat one of the biggest mega powers in the world in the Revolutionary War. We beat a country that even the founding fathers probably thought there's a very slim chance that we'll win. But the fact is they were striving for liberty. They wanted to be free. So they fought this huge country from across the waters and they won. Why? Because the Lord is with them. That same God is the same God that's going to judge this nation for all the wickedness and all the sin that's going in it. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is a multicultural melting pot of just one religion on top of another. Every other religion has their rights. And the only people that don't are Christians that believe the word of God. Period. Number two, no graven images. Look at verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. You say, idolatry, what is idolatry? Idolatry, as defined by the Bible, is making a graven image out of metal, out of stone, or out of wood. The Bible says no, it's a sin. And this nation is represented by what? What would you think of when you think of this nation and it'd be represented by something? A great big huge graven image in the New York Bay Harbor. Was it New York Bay? The Statue of Liberty? Yeah. By some great giant statue of some woman. We got Mount Rushmore. We got the monuments over there in Washington Memorial. Say, what's wrong with Washington Memorial? Dude, what, aren't you patriotic? Look, my man, they're idols. The Bible says no. You say, well, we're not supposed to just worship them. Look what the Bible says. Look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image in the similitude of any figure, the likeness male or female, the likeness of any beast on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. It's saying, look, let me make this clear. Nothing, no animal that walks on the ground, no person, nothing that flies in the air, and nothing that swims in the water. Period. You say, well, they're just great people. There's great presidents. No! He said, no idols. Right. Every time a good king in the land of Israel came in, they went around and destroyed all the idols. You know why they destroyed idols? Because people just started making graven images and molten images to everything that they thought was cool. Everybody that they thought was great, the Bible says no. You say, well, that's pretty narrow-minded. It's about that narrow right there. Amen. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what the Bible says, and that's why they hate the Ten Commandments. Because this nation has got idols all throughout of it. And if you point at it and say, this big statue that you have is an idol, they don't like to hear that. They want to call you unpatriotic. They want to tell you, well, if you don't like it, bust all the move. You know, some idiot Republican, you know, so-called conservative Baptist preacher. Well, then bust all move to some communist country then. Well, guess what? Why would I have to move? I already live in one right now. I don't need to move. I can stay right where I'm at, my friend. And with that stupid thinking, it's just going to become faster and faster. Go in your Bibles to Leviticus 24. The Bible says not to make any graven image. Even if you're not worshiping it, the Bible says no. Wood, metal, and stone. Period. Wood, metal, and stone. Blasphemy, the second one. The second reason why they don't like the Ten Commandments is because God said not to blaspheme the Lord. Look at verse number, I'll read for you, Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. People have no reverence for God. There is no fear of the Lord in America in 2015. Nobody's afraid of God. I don't know who the people are that got picked and said, hey, buddy, you know, whatever construction company they work for, you're going to be the guy that's going to take the Ten Commandments and dig them up and throw them away. Can you imagine being that guy? I would quit my job. I'd say, you know, that's just a little bit on the board. I'm not going to do it. And guess what? They did it. They did it at night. The Bible says wicked people do things at night because they don't want to be exposed. They're not going to do it in the middle of the day because there are people that still have a little bit of religion to them that are going to see that and say, what are you guys doing? They don't want people to see what they're doing. They got to do it at night because they're evil. Their deeds are evil. Look at Leviticus 24, verse 16. The Bible says blasphemy is a sin, and that in a Bible-centered government, if we had a government, let's say we had some guy come in, and there's a big coup in America, and he came in, and he was just like the second coming of Josiah, and he established a biblical government according to biblical precepts, blasphemy would be a capital offense. Look at verse number 16. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. It's saying, look, you want to let people come across the border and live here? Look, I'm all for that. The Bible talks about oppressing the stranger, but when you come into a different country, and that country, God is the Lord, and you blaspheme that God. Look, my friend, you should be taken out and stoned with stones. You should be lined up in the street and put in front of a firing squad. Right. And people bristle at that, but let me tell you what. That's how serious the sin of blasphemy, taking the Lord's name. It's not just a little thing. It's a big deal with God. Go to Exodus chapter 20. When the president gets up in his first year of presidency and publicly mocks the Bible, publicly mocks God, and just blasphemes the name of the Lord in public, you know that when he said this is a Christian nation, he was right. And it hadn't been a Christian nation a long time. Because if this nation did have any Christianity, people would be pretty offended by that. People would have said something to him. They wouldn't have just got on Facebook and shared it and made a little status update. They would have actually done something about it. But you know what? Even the people that it twerked a little bit don't have the guts to even say anything about it because they're afraid of being unpatriotic. Look, why do they hate the Ten Commandments? Number three is because God said not to blaspheme his name. Number four, we'll talk about the Sabbath day. Now look at Exodus 20, verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And thou in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now in the New Testament, the Bible's clear that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. We don't keep the Sabbath as a holiday or as an observance. We don't do that in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He fulfilled all that. However, the idea of taking a day and just making it a day where you're going to reverence the Lord more than all the other days is a biblical concept. That's something we can learn from the Sabbath day, is that we should take a day. Now, let me say this. It's not a sin to work on Sunday. And Sunday is not the new Sabbath day. But when we look in the New Testament and it talks about them meeting, it always talks about them meeting upon the first day of the week, which for us in America is Sunday. Acts 20, verse 7, you're in 1 Corinthians. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So he comes on the first day of the week, and he preached until midnight. I'm pretty sure this is when Eutychus fell out of the window. I mean, that's some long-winded preaching. I preached one time against the Church of Christ, and I preached for like an hour and 45 minutes. And it didn't seem that long to me, but when I looked, when I was done, I looked at my clock, I was like, whoa. And everybody was like, man, that was some long preaching. But I remember Rudy Davis, that was some long preaching. But that's not until midnight. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Upon the first day, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there shall be no gatherings when I come. This is talking about when they meet together, they are doing it on the first day of the week. It's just an example. It's not saying if you don't do it on the first day of the week, you're in sin. Or if you do it on the first day of the week, you can get away without doing any of this. It's just saying, look, you need to set aside some time when you come together as a people and worship the Lord. Now, this church has 50, 60 people in it. And if we just say, whenever you want to, come here and worship the Lord, you're going to show up in here on Tuesday night, and there probably going to be nobody here. So we take a specific day. We take times when we say, hey, everybody, let's all gather together at one time. So at one time we can sing. At one time we can hear God's word being preached. At one time we can all gather together and talk about the Bible and fellowship and have fellowship with one another. That's what we do in the New Testament. That's a principle. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. They want to attack that by attacking the local church, by attacking the house of God. You say, how come? Because they hate the ten. They hate that God said that. They hate that the Lord says that this is the house of God. They don't like that. They want to make preaching the Bible inside the house of God a crime. In a lot of countries, to get up and read Leviticus, just even to read Leviticus 20:13, the Bible says it's a crime in front of all, and it's a crime, and they will take you to jail. They'll have the pastor arrested. They'll fine the church. They'll take away your tax-exempt status. Look, my friend, it's the word of God. This is what's going to be preached, and, you know, that's just an attack of the world. Now, I'll read for you in Isaiah 5, verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The Bible's saying there's a time, there's going to come a time in every nation when they become wicked and evil, when they'll call what's bad and evil, they'll call it good. And they'll say what the Bible says is darkness, they'll call it light. They're going to do that, and we have been in this country for a long time, and that's what's going on, and that's what they're going to do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. What they want to do is they want to say and put label preachers that believe the Bible is being Stone Age, being archaic. I can't believe you believe that old book. And they want to make it a hate crime. And they want to always tag, since 9/11, they want to tag this terrorist label on anybody that's not working for the state. It's almost like we're in some sci-fi movie in real life. Yeah. And everybody's just an enemy of the state. But let me say this. And they can call, look, my friend, they can arrest anybody they want to. They can call it a terrorist. And then, after that, they can arrest you and confine you and keep you indefinitely. And never tell anybody why they even took you. Just tell you that it's treason. Now, let me say this. Who knows, I read a book one time where they count of Monte Cristo, and this guy, they charged him with treason, they kidnapped him and sent him to some crazy dungeon prison, and they told his family, oh yeah, he's dead. They can do that in America, and it's perfectly legal. And nobody's saying anything about it. They call it the Patriot Act. They call it, and there's other names and numbers. That was just the beginning of it. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know what God is saying right there? That the world is going to become too smart for God. Look at the end of that. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They're going to look at this and they're going to say it's utter foolishness. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And they says he can't even discern them. When they read the scripture, when I get up here and say what I'm saying right now, they say, well, that's just foolish. That's just Stone Age. That book is thousands of years old. It's been changed millions of times by thousands of times. Look, and it's just these lies that are being pushed by the government school system, by all these type of things. It's just a lie. It's because they hate the Word of God. Go to Exodus 20. Actually, go to Proverbs 29. I'll just read for you Exodus 20. The next thing, honoring your parents. They hate that God said that they want your children to honor you. Do you know why? Because they want to be your God. They want to be your child's parents. They want to be honored above you. I'll read for you Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This nation attacks the fifth commandment by trying to take away the ability to teach your child what's right and what's wrong according to the Word of God. The government wants your kids to be, they want to be the surrogate parents of your children. Yeah. You say, well, it's crazy, you're some conspiracy nut. They're doing it they want to outlaw spanking. They want to outlaw homeschool. They want to outlaw all these other things. You have to go to some nation in Europe. And in Germany, I worked with the guy when I first got here that was from Germany. And they moved here because it was illegal to homeschool your children in Germany. They moved here. And he said there's a bunch of people that he knew that were like in these like underground homeschool type things. And they couldn't get out because it was hard to be able to even transfer over here. It cost them a great deal of money. And he came here for the one reason, to homeschool his children, because it was illegal there. Why? Because they don't want you teaching something different than what the state wants, than what daddy, what big brother wants you to know. That's what it is. Look at Proverbs 29. They want to hinder you from teaching your children God's word. They want to hinder you from training and raising them using God's methods. The way the Bible says, look at verse 15. The rod in reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. They want your children to be a shame unto you, so they can pump him full of drugs, so that way he will grow up already addicted to dope. He will already be strung out when he's a little child. And then he moves on from Ritalin and from all these other types of dope to a different drug. Then he commits a crime. He commits a felony, which they're broadening the scope of what's a felony. That way they can put you on paper, and that way they can be your daddy for the rest of your life. Yeah. That's what they want. They want to hang that felony over your head so that way you can't even get a good job for the rest of your life. So that way you're totally dependent on welfare in the government to take care of you, because they want to be your dad. Not just when you're little, but even when you grow up. They want to be daddy for the rest of your life. And that's what they do. It starts off by them stopping you from raising your children. Go to Proverbs 22. Go back a couple pages of Proverbs 22. They want you to be on paper forever. Look at verse number 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It's the rod of correction that's going to drive foolishness from your child. They want your child to be a fool, though. That's what people don't understand. No, they want their kids to be smarter. No, they don't. They want them to make the wrong decisions because they want them to fall into a trap. Look at verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. They want to raise up your child themselves They don't want you to homeschool. So what do? They make the price of food, they make the price of everything ridiculous. So that way, in order to have a guy that works for his family by himself and have his wife stay home and take care of the children, you have to be poor. It's like a choice you make. You say, well, you know, maybe some people might luck out and get a great job, but the majority of people that make that decision have to just come with the grips of the fact, look, for the rest of my life, we are probably going to be living either paycheck to paycheck or close there too. And if we want to, I mean, because one, are you going to be working 60 hours a week? Which is fine. As a father, me that's going to do that, that's what I'm willing to do is work the extra hours that it takes to get that done. Why? Because I don't want them to be trained up by the state. I don't want them to, I don't want the government to be my kid's daddy. I'm not going to do it. Go to Exodus 21. While you're going there, you say, well, I take my kid to church three times a week. I teach him the Bible and you know, I tell him about, I try to warn him about the things about that he's being taught in public school and all that type of stuff. But let me say this. Are you letting them be indoctrinated by the world and through other avenues? You say, how? What other avenues? Through letting them. You're teaching them about God three times a week for 3 hours a week. And you may even explain the Bible and read to the Bible to them a little bit. And then you're going to sit them down in front of the TV and just unravel everything that they've been taught. You're just going to undo all the work that you put in. And then they're going to grow up and totally forsake the right way. You say, well, try training up a child. No, you didn't. You sat in front of a TV and then let them train them. Look, newsflash, the TV is ran by the world. The prince and power of this world, the god of this world, Satan. Let me just read this. I've read these statistics one time in a sermon, but I'm going to read it again. The average American spends 5 hours a day watching TV. 5 hours, that's a lot. The average American, by the time they die, will have spent 9 years of their lives watching TV. Can you believe that? 9 years when you add it all up. The number of violent acts that a child will have seen by the time he hits his 18th birthday is 150,000. 150,000 violent acts will be ran through their brain. The number of 30-second TV commercials seen in a year by an average child is 16,000. Those commercials, they pay big money for those commercials. And then when it comes to big things like the Super Bowl or, you know, whatever big, you know, the World Series, those Pepsi and those companies pay huge money to get those commercials. Oh, the commercials don't affect you. Well, the people that are paying for them, they know for a fact they do. They know that that $5 million they're going to spend on that 30-second ad or whatever is a good investment. Yes, right. They're not fools. The Bible talks about the people, the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom sometimes. They know what a good investment is. They're not just throwing their money out there they're doing it because it works. The percentage of Americans that regularly watch TV while eating dinner, 67%. Two-thirds of people, Americans, don't even sit around a dinner table and talk. I was raised watching TV while we ate. 5 hours a day, I'm pretty sure it was a lot more than that, me growing up. It was a ton. I mean, when I got home from the public school system and then I went to bed at night, I was watching TV or playing video games. When I was real little, we played outside, but I mean, still, it's quite a bit. If people spent 5 hours a day reading their Bible, they would read through the Bible 15 times a year. Can you imagine if somebody said, I read through the Bible 15 times last year? You'd almost doubt it. And if they said, all I did is just substitute my TV watching for Bible reading time 15 times, I don't have time to read my Bible. Look, I'm telling you what, you have time. You're just not you're spending it on TV, on the television, that big one-eyed monster. And it's indoctrinating your children. Yeah. It's teaching them the wrong way. It's training up the child in the path that he shouldn't go. And when he's old, guess what? He's not going to depart from it. He's going to go that way. Murder. Thou shalt not kill. Murderers go completely unpunished correctly according to the Bible in this nation. See, they get punished. Not according to the Bible. And that's why we have such huge homicide rates. Now go to Exodus chapter 21. Where had you go? Look at verse number 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. He's saying, if you kill somebody, you should be put to death. By God's going to strike you? No, man should put you to death. Look at Exodus 21, verse number 28. People ask, well, what about things like drinking and driving and murder? People that drink and drive and kill people. Do you think they should be put to death? Yes. And I'll tell you, I'll explain to you why. Look at verse 28. You say, what are you talking about? I counted like 19 people that I know that have died in a drunk driving accident in my course of my life. That's a lot. I'm going to say 19, but that's a lot of people. That's a ton of people. I could start naming them. People that have died from drinking and driving, that were either drinking and driving themselves. Almost none of them was. Almost all of them was either a passenger or they were in another car. Or they were walking down the road. One of them was walking down the road and his own best friend accidentally, just by chance, was driving drunk. And he was drunk walking down the road and he literally stumbled in the middle of the road and the other guy hit him. And he was with a whole bunch of guys coming from the bar going to a party and they hit something and they thought that he hit a dog. Nobody saw it coming. It's the middle of the night. They got out and they were like, you hit a person, and he drove away, and they were calling him on a cell phone, you hit Mario. The only reason I even know who Mario is because of this guy. He introduced me to this guy. He's like that's how we met and became friends. And he killed him, 5 kids. The guy had 5 children. Don't have a dad now, and this guy went to jail, but he's out of jail now. Unpunished. You say, well, he probably didn't know. It's not really his fault. He didn't know he was going to kill somebody. Look at this. Look at verse number 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. Saying, if you have an animal that kills somebody, and it never did this before, and it just went crazy and killed somebody, you kill it, you don't eat it, and you just kill it, and then do away with it. Okay? Look at verse 29, though. But if the ox were wont to push his horns through in times past, and it hath been testified of his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So if you have an ox that's done it before, and they said, hey, this ox has killed people. You know, it's hurting people. You need to put it down. And if he doesn't put it down, and then it kills somebody, they kill the ox and they kill him. How many people in here have ever heard of somebody dying in a drunk driving accident, whether you knew them personally or you just knew them? Every hand goes up. Everybody's heard about it. Knowing this, you know that if you are drunken and you get behind the wheel of a car, you could potentially kill somebody. Knowing that, you have no excuse. If you kill somebody, the law should be in this nation that that person, the death penalty, capital offense. Amen. Look at verse number 22. Exodus 21, verse 22 in this country. They don't like the murder part. They want to take it down. Those 4 words are huge. Thou shalt not murder. Abortion. Look at Exodus 21, verse number 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Saying, if there's 2 guys fighting, and there's a pregnant lady standing there, and we knock into her on accident, we weren't trying to kill, we just knocked into her, the Bible says that her fruit depart from it, which means that she has a miscarriage because we knocked into her. We will be punished, and we will have to pay a fine according to as the judges and the husband of the woman decide how much it's worth and how much, what is a correct fine. Look at verse 23, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. They want to say that what's inside of a woman's belly, a pregnant woman, is not a life. They want to just call it a fetus. They want to call it some other name. They just want to label it something else. Look, the Bible says it's a life. If you kill if you hit a woman on purpose, mischief followed, means you meant to do it, and you hit a woman, or you hurt a woman, or you do something to a woman to cause her fruit to depart from her, to make that miscarriage, to make that baby die, the Bible says it's life for life. It's the baby's life for whose life? For your life. For the person's life. Before I give you the stats, I've read this before, but I mean, I'm telling you what, every once in a while, I read back through some of these things, these stats and these things, and it is, you know what it does? Is it just lights a fire under me. Where I think, man, like, I can't, like, it just makes my job all the more important. It makes your job as a Christian all the more important is because of what's going on in this world and seeing what's going on in this world and actually doing something about it. You say, should I be a pastor? I want to, look. This is what's happening in our country. This is what's happening. Listen to this. Let me explain how the procedure goes of an abortion. This guy bought into the lie that before 24 weeks, the baby was not a baby, and they just called it a blood of tissue. And it wasn't a person. Listen to this. This summer, I was accepted into a pre-medical program in New York City, which we are allowed to shadow doctors. He was going to be a doctor, and he was doing like a, I forgot what they call it, when they just kind of shadow a doctor and they just kind of help him out. And see all sorts of medical procedures. When the opportunity to see an abortion, I did not hesitate to accept the offer. It was something new, something edgy and exciting that I had never seen before. Then he describes exactly what he witnessed in the operating room. When I entered into the operating room, I felt like any other I had been in. On the table in front of me, I saw a woman, legs up as if she were delivering a child, although she was asleep. Next to her was a tray of instruments for the abortion and a vacuum machine for suctioning the fetal tissues from the uterus. The doctors put on the gowns and masks and procedure began. The cervix was held open with a crude metal instrument and a large transparent tube was stuck inside of the woman. Within a matter of seconds, the machine's motor was engaged and blood and tissue and tiny organs were being pulled out from their environment into a filter. A minute later, the vacuum choked to a halt. The tube was removed, and stuck to the end was a small body and a head attached to it haphazardly. What was formed of the neck snapped, the ribs had formed, and a thin skin covering on them, the eyes had formed, and the inner organs had begun to function. The tiny heart of the fetus, obviously a little boy, had just stopped forever. The vacuum filter was open. The tiny arms and legs that had been torn off of the fetus were accounted for. The fingers and toes had the beginning of their nails on them. The doctors, proud of their work, reassembled the body to show me. Tears welled up in my eyes as they removed the baby boy from the table and shoved his body into a container for disposal. Since this abortion was done by suction, the baby must have been less than 13 to 14 weeks, but still far enough along to see that humanity was evident. Abortions in the second trimester are usually done through dilation and evacuation, a procedure in which forceps are used to tear apart the baby rather than through suction. Former abortionist Anthony Levitino describes this abortion. The toughest part of a D&E, which is the dilation and evacuation, is extracting the baby's head. The head of a baby that is age is about the size of a plum. And now freely floating inside the uterine cavity, you can be sure you have a hold of it by a sofa clamp spread about as far as your fingers will allow. So about that far. You will know that you have it right when you crush down on the clamp and see a pure white gelatinous material issue from the cervix. That was the baby's brains. You can see the exact of the skull pieces, if you really have a bad day, often like I did, a little face may come out and stare back at you. Congratulations, you just successfully performed a suction D&E abortion. You have just affirmed a right for some woman to choose. That's what they have a right to choose in this country. And you're wicked, and you are in the sight of the government for saying that what's in that woman's body is not her choice whether she keeps it or not. It's not her choice. It's a life inside of a it's a little human. Half of pregnancies among American women are unintended. About 4 in 10 of these end in abortion. Half of American pregnancies are unintended, and almost half of those end in abortion. About half of American women will have an unintended pregnancy, and nearly 3 in 10 will have an abortion by age 45. 3 in 10 ladies by age 45 will have had an abortion. The overall U.S. unintended pregnancy rate increased slightly between 1994 and 2008, but unintendedly increased pregnancy rates amongst 55% among poor women while decreasing amongst 24. Listen to this. Overall, the abortion rate decreased 8% between 2000 and 2008, but the abortion rate increased among poor women, 18%. So overall, the abortion rate went down in 2008. But amongst poor people, it went up. How come? Because Planned Parenthoods are just put all over the place. They just put Planned Parenthoods everywhere. They don't put them. They don't have Planned Parenthoods way up north in Keller. They don't have Planned Parenthoods way up north up there. They have Planned Parenthoods here in Northside. They have Planned Parenthoods over here in South Fort Worth. over there in East Dallas or West Dallas. That's where they have the Planned Parenthoods on every corner. And they got the one over here tucked away in the corner so you don't even notice it unless you're looking for it. 200, listen to this, 58% of the women that have abortions are in their 20s. 61% have one or more children. They already have children. You say, well, if they already had children, they would never do it because they know what's in them is a baby. You know what? They don't care. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What is the greatest love amongst humans in this world? The love of a mother towards her child, you would think, right? 56 are unmarried and not cohabitating. 69% are economically disadvantaged. 73%, listen to this, report a religious affiliation. 70, almost three quarters of them will say, I'm religious in some way. I'm Christian, probably, if you're in America. I'm a Christian. I kill my baby. 219 abortions per 1,000 live births in America. You know what that means? Out of every 10 children that you just see being born at a hospital, there's been two abortions for every 10 that have been born. That's what it's saying. Abortions per year, 1.058 million. That's about 2,899 a day. Abortions per hour is 1,212 abortions. That's about one abortion every 30 seconds. So how long have I been preaching now? 47 minutes? So we've had 90 abortions on average since I've been talking in America. Thou shalt not murder. Evil. Adultery. Exodus 20:14. Go to Leviticus 20:10. Leviticus 20:10. That's why they hate the sixth commandment. Do you know what's crazy is I said it. I didn't know anything about it. I said it like a couple months ago. I said, I guarantee the reason why Planned Parenthood is so dogmatic about killing all these babies because they make money off them. And like the next week, this video came out where this person had an undercover camera and they were talking with the lady from Planned Parenthood and they were pretending like they were going to sell a bunch of abortion parts or buy a bunch of human parts. And they were joking around like, you know, we'll throw in a couple extra wings and a leg. It's not funny, my friend. Yeah, right. What kind of evil, wicked people do that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Look at verse number 10, 20, Leviticus 20. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he hath committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, in John 8, that they bring the woman and he did away with the death penalty. Look, when Jesus was alive, it was still the Old Testament. Right. The New Testament didn't start until Jesus rose from the dead. So why would he change something that was still in practice? He'd be violating a law of Moses. But the Bible says that he did not. He obeyed. He gave him the clearance. He said, okay, well, then he is without stone, cast the first. He's without sin, cast the first stone. He's told him, go ahead and do it. But, you know, let's do it first. The reason why is they were trying to tempt him. They were trying to get him caught up by the government so that way they can have him arrested and have him killed. The Bible says that they should have both be bringing, the husband or the man and the woman. Where was the man? Right. It wasn't there. As they came to him, it said he was writing on the ground, like, and he pretended like he didn't even hear him. And they had to like keep asking about it. And finally he just said, okay, well, he that is without sin, you do it. They even said Moses in the law commanded us to put it. Then what's the question? Why are you asking me if that's what Moses said? The only reason why is because they were trying to get him thrown in prison. They're trying to get him executed. Go to Genesis chapter 47. I'm going to combine these two and I'll show you how come. Commandments 8 and Commandments 9. No stealing and bearing false witness. Genesis 47, verse number 23. Now, it says, thou shalt not steal. This is how we know that we're losing our freedoms. Many nations end up losing their freedom and they live for a long time still believing that they're free. By the time they realize that they're not free anymore, they've been not free for a real long time. Now, I believe we have a lot of freedoms in America, but I'm telling you what, the day's coming when we will, in our kids' day and our grandkids' day, well, if we live in America, they're going to come to a realization, we're not free anymore. And by that time, the state government, and there'll be one of just very few, all the kids will have been recycled through this government propaganda machine called the public school system. Public school system. And they'll be brainwashed. And to where your children that you raise to fear the Lord, they will think that they're psycho and they'll think they're a terrorist, and they'll call him all this stuff. They'll put him in a. They want to put him in an insane asylum, and have him put to death, and have him locked away. And it'll be few and far between that you run into a church like this. Look at verse number 47. Look at Joseph here. Joseph actually, you know, he was obviously a great man, but the Bible does show him actually enslaving the Egyptian people, the people that he was supposed to be looking over. Look at verse 23. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh." What a nice guy. "Behold, I have bought you this day." Great, that's awesome. "Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. It shall come to pass here, I'll give you whatever you need. I'll be your daddy. Don't worry, Pharaoh." Look at verse 24. "And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for the seed of the field and for your food and for them of your households, for the food of your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight, O my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have a fifth part, except the land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. That means 20% tax. When you think about it, if you are in a higher tax bracket, you're getting like 30, 40% taken out. Not only that, you go to the store to buy food. You're being taxed on what you're buying. You're being taxed on everything you're buying. The store that's selling it to you is being taxed a sales tax. And then when they bought it from whoever they bought it from, they paid a tax for that. And the people that sold it to them, guess what they did? They paid a tax on that. And then the farmer that grew it, he has to pay a tax on what he's... It's been taxed so many times. By the time, 20% would be great if that's all that was... From the apple that was on the tree in the field to your dinner table, all that was taxed on it was just 20% from there to there. Things would be way better. Things would be way cheaper. You could easily live off one income. No problem. But because Pharaoh over there in Washington, D.C. is taxing everybody to death, you know, look right there. Look at that. Look at verse 25. "And they said, Thou hast saved our lives." They were so happy to be in bondage. He bought them. They were enslaved. Then he gives them stuff, and they're just like, "You saved us." He's the one that, you know, he put them in bondage. In America, we're giving away more than a fifth part after all said and done. Go to Deuteronomy 24. One of the things that the Bible talks about, and this is why I'm going to talk about the combination of bearing false witness and stealing. One of the things that the Bible talks about stealing more than anything else is stealing people. Look at verse number 20. Look up the word steal in the Bible. Stealing people is what the Bible says that wicked people do all the time, and the Bible says they should be put to death for it. Look at verse number 24, 27. "If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die. Thou shalt put evil away from among you." Exodus 21, 16. "He that stealeth a man and selleth him, if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death," the Bible says. Stealing people. He said, who steals people? Look, CPS steals people. Yes. They're in the child stealing business. Go in your Bibles to Exodus chapter. Go back to Exodus chapter number 20. There's a market for stealing, whether it's stealing babies and children or whether it's stealing grown people. And we call that stealing, call it imprisonment. There's a big, big market. It's an industry. You think we're just going to, everything's an industry. The love of money is the root of all evil, my friend. We're not going to war for freedom in the Middle East. They're not mad at us because we have more freedom than them. They don't want our stinking, they don't want the freedom to have a bunch of fags running around. They don't want that. You think they really want that in Iraq and Afghanistan? We want to be free to be a sodomite. They don't want that. Keep that over there. They want you to keep that over there. You know what I'm saying? States receive bounties. I just heard about a family in Denton, which is what, 45 minutes away? That got all their children stolen because the mom gave birth, had a six-week-old child, and it had, I think, an appendicitis. Is that right? Went in to go to the hospital. The dad went to the hospital and left the children there with the 14-year-old to watch over them. People from his church came to visit because they knew the wife was having problems and called CPS on them. And because they care so much, what if you found out that, let's say, my children or somebody's children, like the mom and the husband were in the hospital for something, you'd say, hey, can I help you out? Can I watch your kids? Can you bring them over here? You know, bring them over and we'll take care of them and we'll make sure everything's all right. No. They called Child Protection Services and they stole all their children and had them for I don't remember how long. And then ended up having to give them back because there's no reason for them to be stolen, because they steal first and ask questions later. And then they ended up giving them back. And then the person that was the agent or whatever you call them, the officer for CPS, lied and reopened the case for no reason, just to be a pain for these people. I know 4 people that have either had their children stolen by CPS or have been threatened with theft by CPS. And all 4 of them, I have not met somebody in my life yet that rightfully should have had their children taken away. I know a guy in New Jersey that he was at a QT. They have QTs up there. And he's getting a sandwich. And they have tables at those QTs where you can sit down and eat your sandwich. And he's doing homework with his daughter. She's 9 or 10. He's doing homework with her. She did something and he gave her a spanking. The police got called. The police came, reviewed the tape. Said no charges. But by that time, guess who already got wind of it? CPS. So CPS opened up a case and he said, look at the video. The cops didn't charge me with the crime. Look at the video. It doesn't matter. Because that little girl, because those children, they're dollar signs. They don't care about the welfare of that guy's child. They don't care. Look at the thing about, listen to this. The state, depending on the state, receives up to $8,000 a month for every child they have to take care of. To make it easier for themselves, the state, what they do is they got better methods. How about bearing false witness to place these, so other people take care of them while they just collect the money and they just take the money in. They make it easier to place children in foster homes so that other people will take care of them, and all they have to do is just get paid from the federal government. And what they do is they make people feel bad, hey, this child, and they bear false witness. And then they put the child in with these people, and then people think, hey, I'm doing something good. And the state is just racking in tons of money. CPS doesn't have a set in stone way of determining what an unfit parent is. There's no lines. Oh, it's just case by case basis. They may have actual cases where taking kids out of their home may save the child's life. And I'm not against adoption. My dad was adopted. My wife's mother was adopted. Okay? But I'm telling you what, at the rate that they're stealing people's kids out of their homes, there's no way you'll ever get me to believe that it's all justified. It's kind of like how, I remember one time Pastor Anderson had this, like, he had counted how many home births there were in our church. And like it was 30 or something like that. And he counted how many hospital births were in the church. And out of the home births, I think they had one or maybe no C-sections at all. Of all the home births, none of them had to go get a C-section. Out of the hospital births, like half of them are C-section. Do you know why? Because the doctors lie. And they come up to you and they say, hey, you have to get a C-section. You will die if you don't. You're going to bleed out and get you all afraid. And what are you going to do? Tell them no? And so what they do is they lie. Do you know why they want to do that? Because they want to get you out of there. It's like they want that revolving door. Cha-ching, cash register, boom, you're in and out. Let's charge the medical company and then let's get somebody else in that room. And that's what it is. It's all about money. They want to make laws. We're teaching the Bible to your children and teaching them what the Word of God says is hate. So they can label you. Look, there's people, and these people are nuts. Don't get me wrong. They wanted to name their child Adolf Hitler. I can't remember where I heard it. Adolf Hitler is obviously an evil and wicked person, one of the most wicked people ever. But guess what? If that's what they want to name their kid, who is Big Brother to come in and say they can't name their kid Adolf Hitler? When the kid gets older, if he doesn't like it, change his name. You know what I mean? It's their child. It's my kid. I can name him whatever I want. I can teach him what I want. Our kids have a great home. We have plenty of food. We have plenty of space, all that type of stuff. But there's going to come a day when it's not going to be the living, because they don't care about the living conditions. They only care about, they want to be daddy. And when they see people that have big families, look, if you see a big family walking down the road, you could probably rest assured they probably homeschool. If you see people with 5 or 6 children walking, they're all wearing dresses, you're thinking they homeschool. I mean, right? I mean, it's probably a good guess that 9 out of 10 of them are homeschooling their children. They'll see people like that and they want to stop them from doing that. Because it spreads. Oh, you homeschool. And then they see you can do it. And they, I want to do that. That sounds great. I hate what's going on. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in all the garbage the public school is teaching. But I never thought it was even possible. And they see you doing it, and then they want to do it. So they want to put the old, they want to nip that thing. Every single CPS agent that's stealing people from their parents should be taken out and stoned to death for men stealing.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's true.
They may have actual cases where they're taking kids out of places where the child might die or be terribly harmed. I'm not saying they don't. I'm saying that's probably sure enough exists. There are times when ladies need to have C-sections. Or they could be in danger of their life. Okay, I'm not saying that there's not. But I'm telling you what, it's not at the rate they're saying it is. Why? Because they're bearing false witness. They have no problem lying to you. $8,000 a kid? Whew. Rack them up. Have you seen a Planned Parenthood going out of business? Never. Never. Same reason you don't ever see a liquor store going out of business. It's big money.
Yeah.
It's big money. The foster goals for people should be to get their kids, to get the kids in the back into the hands of the rightful parents. The rightful parents. Because there's going to come a day, it's 2015, let's say 2035. 20 years from now, when we're going to be in like the Canada era where this is going to be illegal. We had the two guys that come from Canada. You remember them like a month ago? And they said their pastor cannot even read parts of the Bible or he'll literally be thrown in jail and be fined. And that day is coming because, for one, not enough Christians are standing up and saying anything about it. And then two, the Bible just talks about at the end of the world, it just becoming worse and worse. And so they're going to be taking my children, or not, hopefully, Lord willing, my God will protect us, but children that are like ours, and you know what? I don't have nothing to do with it. It's wicked as hell. And they are of Satan. Jail and imprisonment. Just kidnapping adults. The United States is the biggest, I mean, by far got the biggest prison population in the world. The land of the free, right? By overwhelming majority, I saw a thing that like, we have more people in prison than like the nearest like 10 countries combined or something crazy. And it's really helping, right? Our streets are just so much better, right? That we had a shootout the other night. Out of our window, not Saturday, not last night, but the night before. For 2 minutes, we can hear back and forth gunfire. Because these people being put in prison is really helping them. And listen to this, though. Why are they putting so many people in prison? Because in 2011, the federal prison that they were in can charge the federal government an average of $28,893 a year to house one person. That's like $600 a week. To put them in a little cell, feed them dog food, and they give them a look. You can live off, the whole family can live off $28,000. I mean, maybe not great, but if for one person, why? It's just a moneymaker. It don't cost them You think it cost them $28,000 to raise some adult to hold them in prison? That's why they don't want the death penalty. They're making money. In my hometown in Grand Junction, Colorado, they had these things called work release. You know, they have them everywhere. They had two of them. They had one for people that had not committed felonies, and then they had ComCore that was for people that were getting out of prison, right? So instead of just letting them into the street, they would make them go to this work release center where they had to pay them rent. And on top of them paying them rent, the federal government would give these places tons of money for every... And it's like the same amount of money. Community correction centers, which are these work release centers, get $26,000 per inmate a year. On top of that, when you live there, they make you pay them like $15 a day for living there. So you're paying all that. They don't want you to be put out. Oh, I say, the two places were owned by Judge Massaro and Judge Bodker, two county judges. They can talk about being able to like make sure that your business runs fine. They can make sure that the company that they have always stays busy and always stays full. That's how they all are. They're all privately owned by people. People think it's just like this, like the flashing lights that ticket you. They think it's like a part of the government. It's not. It's a private owned company that's taxing you, extorting you. The cost of incarceration climbs to a crazy level in Supermax and Federal and in Florence, Colorado. They charge people $60,000 a year to house somebody. These guys are on 23-hour lockdown. They're in one cell and they don't even let them out. How are they charging so much money? How much is it really costing them for them to be in a space this big and never be let out for 1 hour a day for their entire life? The most experienced, listen to this. This is why they don't close down Gitmo. That place in where they're look, if these guys are that bad, put a bullet in their head. You know, I mean, if they're this crazy monster, we can't let into any part of the world. They're so dangerous. Execute them. If they're killers, I mean, that's right. I mean, does that make sense to you? Yeah. Listen to this. They charge the federal government $900,000 per person they have in Gitmo. Almost $1 million it costs per guy to house those people. Somebody's balling off men stealing. 900, we pay that. We're paying that. Can you believe that? $900,000? Do you think those guys with their living conditions are just like, they're living like the good life? Dude, they're living in like tents and they're living in dungeons. $900,000 for each one of them. Go back to Exodus 20. Look it up. That's why they're taking people. That's why we have such a high... Judge Joe Arpaio, this racist fool in Arizona, arrests people, and then he puts them in what he calls it the tent city. They have it there. And they put all the prisoners... It's 120 degrees at night outside, and he makes them all just be out there. And pink. Oh, everything's pink. And it costs them far less, but he still charges the federal government $30,000 a person. Right? But he's making them live in a tent with no air conditioning, just fans blowing. And so all the money he's saving the community. He's not saving the community. Do you know what he's doing? The sheriffs in Maricopa County get paid way more than sheriffs in almost every county in the country. Because Sheriff Joe takes care of them. Sheriff Joe is going to be the sheriff there. The guy got caught with like $1 million, $200,000 in the trunk of his car in dope. Everybody, Google it. He was driving, he claims that his daughter was kidnapped in California and somebody was holding him for her for ransom. And so he's driving $200,000 to California or something like that to go rescue her. And drugs and the whole nine. The guy's crooked as can be. Yeah. And but saving the taxpayers' money, no, he's not. He's just making people rich. You know what I mean? And people want to lift this guy up like he's, oh, this guy's... Because they believe in life. If you call Maricopa County, I had a friend of mine that I was working with that was calling the jail because a friend of his had been thrown in jail. And he's calling to find out when his court date was going to be, and they put him on hold. And the whole hold, like, you know, they have a song sometimes? The whole thing was like praising and worshiping Joe. Sheriff Joe, this year, has done this and that. Like, the whole thing was just about Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Yeah? I'm telling you what, it's ridiculous. It's a big money-making machine. Look at verse number 17. This is the last one. Covetousness, and I'll be done. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the thing which he possesseth. Our country is just in debt. Everybody's in debt. Not even just talking about like their homes, like they owe a bunch for the home. I'm talking about just outside. I wouldn't even ask for a raise of hands of people in here that have credit card debt. It's just, now it's almost like life. You know what I mean? Where people just have tons of debt. Why? Because they want to buy things that they don't actually have the currency to give. That's the country that we live in. Look, Christmas is coming right up, and what do people do? They just go out. I know a man that buys something for like, he's got tons of grandchildren. And he buys something for all of them every year at Christmas time, and he charges it all up, and he runs this huge debt. And the whole year, all he does is just pay it all off, just so that way next Christmas he can, you know, Grandpa can get all the kids, tons of grandchildren something. Look, beware of covetousness. It doesn't matter. Go back to Exodus 20. Look at verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Look, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Yes. Amen. Now, we need to go out there and preach the gospel. We need to go out there, and the people that are out there that are saved, we want to bring them in, not so we can have lots of numbers, so their lives can be changed, so they can be set free. Even in the midst of bondage of the United States of America, as we're going down that slope, they themselves can be free. Jesus said, I'll give you the truth, the truth shall make you free. Maybe not free physically, but free mentally. free from bondage, the bondage of sin at least. So that's why they take the Ten Commandments off of Oklahoma City, just like Jesus told, woe unto you, Chorazin, and woe unto you, all these cities. Look, woe unto you, Oklahoma City, and woe unto the next city, the state government that does the same thing, that follows in suit, period. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for speaking these words, Lord, and giving me the opportunity to also speak them, Lord. We love you. Help us to take our lives seriously and help us to value what we have in your Word. Help us to read the Word and help us to love it. Help us to teach it to our children and help us to protect them from the wicked influences of this world, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.